So we're going to get back to Romans in who knows how long, you know, I never know. I should know because I'm kind of planning it, but I want to take a break. I want to take a little time in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, and the Old Testament teaches us so much about God and about us, but it does it more through stories rather than actual teaching. And I love that. You get these visuals, you get this history that also speaks to us and stays with us about who God is. And so here's where we're at with Joshua chapter 3. Joshua has taken over leadership over Israel. Moses has passed away. And Joshua, if you remember, he sends out two spies to spy out the promised land. And they come back full of encouraging words. They say it's everything God said it would be. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And the people there have heard about our God, and their hearts are melting with fear. We need to go in and take this land. So, but there's a major obstacle between them and the promised land. It's called the Jordan River. The Jordan River is at flood stage, and it seems to be saying, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. I want to pick up in chapter 3. I'm reading from the NIV, verse 15, second part of verse 15. Joshua chapter 3. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. When the whole nation, chapter 4, verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God among his people. And as the priests carried the ark to the water's edge and their feet touched the water, what happened was the current started piling up. It stopped flowing and it piled up. The water piled up upstream. And the Israelites were able to cross the river on dry ground. But here's what we need to realize from this passage. The Israelites are passing, and there's a lot of them, and they're crossing the river on dry ground. But the priests did not cross the river. The priests came to the middle of the river, and they stopped. And they stayed there as all of Israel walked by them. And so they're there in the middle of the river, and they've got the Ark of the Covenant. And Israel passes all Passover, and then God says to Joshua, choose 12 men, one from each tribe, to go back to the middle of the river, pick up a stone, and bring it to the edge, and make a monument here on the other side of what I have done, a memorial of what God had done for his people that day. And it was important that the stones were picked up from the middle of the river, from the middle of the miracle. They didn't build memorial stones with stones from the edge where they started from. And they didn't build a memorial with stones from the edge of where they ended up. They built a memorial with the stones that were in the middle of the river, stones they would never have been able to get to if God had not done what God did. And I want to encourage us that God has stones for us to pick up in the middle of the miracle. Memorials we can only make when we follow God in the paths he leads us, even when it doesn't seem possible. Stones that testify And we wouldn't be where we are if God had not worked on our behalf. So I'm calling this message, Remembering from the Middle of the Miracle. And I want to address what might be the first instinct we have, especially because we're not like a really crazy Pentecostal church. So miracles aren't something like we're walking around in. Like, you know, if I were to say, raise your hand if you've experienced a miracle today, I'm not sure there'd be like 20 hands up. I'm not sure there'd be a single hand up. I mean, if we're honest, do we really wake up every morning and say, God, I know there's going to be a miracle today? I don't think there are certain churches, and I do appreciate their faith, but we're not exactly that kind of church. We believe in miracles. Amen? We believe in miracles, but if miracles were something God did every day, I'm not sure they'd be called miracles, you know? But here's what I want to tell you. You, if you are a Christian, are a walking miracle right now. I don't care how ordinary your life is. I don't care how boring you think your life is. You are a walking miracle right now, today. You may say, there's not a miracle in sight. Well, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you are in the middle of a miracle. The greatest miracle God has ever performed is making salvation possible for lost sinners. Why do I say that? God created the universe and he hung the stars with just a fling of his hand, like not even a sweat broken. God could raise the dead with just a word. But it took Jesus dying on a cross to make it possible for the miracle of salvation and regeneration to change and transform our souls and make us, adopt us as children of God. It took a miracle that cost Jesus his life to accomplish. And so we are, for us to cross the dark rivers of the Jordan one day, what often the old timers used to call the River Jordan, the death, for us to cross that River Jordan and come into the celestial kingdom of Jesus, it took a miracle. We are walking miracles. And so here is the overlay of Joshua. Moses represented the law. He was the lawgiver. And it's very intentional that Moses, as great as he was, could not bring his people into the promised land, because the law can never get us into the promised land. The law could never get us into heaven. We needed Joshua, which is, by the way, the Hebrew name for Jesus. We needed Joshua. We needed our Jesus to lead us into the promised land. Jesus made a way where there was no way by paying for our sins on the cross, conquering the devil, and through his death one day, we will cross that River Jordan unless he returns ahead of time and into his kingdom. But we're not there yet, are we? We live in this place the Bible calls the now. Well, the Bible didn't call it. We call it the now and the not yet. Right now, we are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. But we're not. We're not yet. But we are. We live in this place where we are saved. We have eternal life flowing in us. Sin has been conquered, and there's nothing but the life of God in us, but there is sin still. We're in this weird place called the now and the not yet, and I suggest it is the middle of the miracle. We are in the middle of the miracle of God saving us to the uttermost. We're there, but we don't see it yet. And that's why it's important to remember what Jesus has done for us. Communion, by the way, is a stone we pick up in the middle of the miracle. To remember what Jesus did for us, and to remember what Jesus is doing for us, and to remember what Jesus is going to do for us in the future. So, communion is an important remembrance of what the Lord has done that we're to do regularly. I want to encourage us in our lives to pick up stones when we're in the middle of what God is doing in our lives, but we can't see the other side of it. We don't see where God has taken us. And I want to consider, with this image of picking up stones and taking them to the other side, I want to consider the power of that, the importance of that in our lives, and some stones we can pick up. We're not going to look at 12 stones. We are going to consider 4 stones. One stone is marked, it's marked this. You look at the stone, and here's what it says. God often puts opportunity on the other side of an insurmountable obstacle. God often puts opportunity on the other side of an insurmountable obstacle. We see it over and over again in the scripture. Abraham and Sarah had this insurmountable obstacle of being too old and no kids. They had a promise. Out of them would come a nation. There's only one obstacle. They have no son, and they're getting seriously old. Moses faced an obstacle called the Red Sea. Hannah faced the obstacle of being barren. Gideon faced an army called the Midianites, a powerful army called the Midianites. He also faced fear. He was a fearful man. David faced an arrogant giant, then he faced an angry king. Elijah faced 450 false prophets. Daniel faced the den of lions. Often God's opportunities are on the other side of insurmountable obstacles. And all the obstacles I just mentioned are not incidentals in their lives. They are the changing point of their lives. They are the moment when God does a transforming, changing work in their lives. God was taking them from this side to the other side. The obstacle was so important. Do you have obstacles in your life? I'm sure you do. We all do. Now listen, to be practical, I'm a practical guy. I also happen to like wisdom. I think that's biblical. Sometimes, you know what insurmountable obstacles say? You know what sometimes they say? Don't do it. Amen? Don't do it. If I'm looking and I see that, the Giants need a new quarterback, I should not sign up for it. That's an insurmountable obstacle. I'm not called to sign up for. Wisdom is a good thing sometimes. But sometimes wisdom says, don't cross that insurmountable obstacle. And it's the Lord. And you know it's the Lord. But sometimes the Lord leads us to an obstacle that is in our power, seemingly insurmountable. And he says, I want you to cross that. I want you to take that challenge on. And we look at it and we say, wait a minute. The wisdom kicks in. It's flood stage. This is like the worst time to do this. The waters are raging. They're a mile wide. They're deep. Lord, let's plan this out a little better. This is like the worst time of year for us to do this. And the Lord says, sometimes the worst time is the best time because I am going to do a work. I am going to forge a testimony of what I have done in your life, so that our lives are not simply testimonies of what we can do, but there's a testimony of what God has done. Amen? Don't we want that? I could hear that amen a little louder. There we go. A testimony of what God has done, a life-changing testimony on the other side of that obstacle, and God says, get your feet wet with something bigger than what you can do. As the priest stepped into the water, and I love how God said, you got to step into the water. Moses, all he had to do was raise his staff, and the Red Sea parted. I would rather do that, you know? If it doesn't start to part, you just kind of do this, you know? But they said, you guys have to commit yourself. You got to get your feet wet. I'm not going to start doing anything until your feet are in the water. Until you're standing there in the water and you're going to look stupid if I don't do something. But God had a new chapter waiting for them, a land. They were going from one life to another, from wandering in a desert, seeing the same old, eating the same old, wandering with no direction into a land of milk and honey, of plenty, adventure, promise, opportunity to fail. All of that God was leading them. And we don't want to miss, amen, church, we don't want to miss the testimonies that God has for us. Because every time we see a significant obstacle, we read it as turn back, don't go forward. Now again, use wisdom. We'll talk about, we need to hear from God. But when we see floodwaters and raging currents, we see it as a sign to stay where we are. How many answers to prayer, how many testimonies, how many memorials do we miss because we stop at the river's edge? The key for us is to seek the Lord's will. If God says step into that water, step into it. If God doesn't say step into it, don't step into it. So one stone is marked. God often puts opportunities on the other side of an insurmountable obstacle. Another stone is marked going forward with prayer. As soon as the priest's feet touched the edge of the water, the current stopped flowing. It stopped flowing upstream. What was downstream just kept going. What was upstream began to pile up. But God said, your feet need to touch water. You know what was so special about their feet? You know what was so powerful about their feet? Absolutely nothing. There was nothing powerful about their feet. You know what it was? They carried with them the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God was with them. That is what was powerful. It wasn't their feet. It was the presence of God. Believers in Jesus, we all have the presence of God with us. I love that verse in Romans that says, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't belong to Jesus. So the weakest believer has the Holy Spirit living within them. We have the presence of God with us. But we don't all experience the presence of God equally. We all don't carry the presence of God in our lives equally. He's there, but if we are not walking in prayer, if we are not pressing in prayer, if we're not seeking His face, the presence of God is going to be extremely unseen in our lives. We're going to miss the opportunities that He might speak to us and lead us. We need to become men and women of prayer. There's no power apart from prayer. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. There is no power apart from prayer. You say, I don't like to pray. Neither do I. My flesh doesn't like to pray. But there is no power in prayer. It's kind of like when you go to turn on the TV or you go to turn on the hairdryer or whatever, and there's nothing there and you're, you know, what's going on? You're hitting and then you realize it's not plugged in. You can push every button on that TV. You can kick the TV. You can do anything you want until you plug it into power. It's not going to be there. Sometimes Christians, we Christians, and I'm including myself, we're like, where is the presence of God? Where is the power of God? Why are things not happening? Why is this falling apart? Why is this, you know, and you say, well, are you praying at all? Are you spending time in prayer? Oh, no, not really. I'm not really into that. Prayer's not really my thing. Well, plug the thing in, plug it in prayer. Learn to pray from the heart, because prayer is not just about getting answers from God. It's about experiencing the presence of God in a powerful way. Prayer connects us with God, connects us with Jesus so that we are abiding in Him. He is abiding in us, and through us, He will bear much fruit. We can't cross uncrossable rivers in flood stage without Jesus. Careful planning can't do it. Wisdom alone can't do it. Programs alone can't do it. Motivational messages can't do it. We need to carry the presence of the living God with us through prayer. When they crossed, it was not only the flood stage, it was also the harvest time. The worst time was the best time. And I believe the Lord has a harvest for us to reap this year as we carry his presence with us into 2025. I believe the Lord has a harvest for us to reap this year. But if we want this year to be full of testimonies of what God has done, we need to and we want to learn to pray with faith and power. Spurgeon said that so many Christians pack their prayers in ice, kind of like Sherry's berries. You know, have you ever gotten Sherry's berries? They come packed in dry ice, so they're nice and cold. That's good for berries. It's not good for prayer. I'm sending you a prayer, God, and it's packed in ice. Lord, please do this. You know, we gotta heat those prayers up a little bit. Amen. We gotta pray with a little passion. God loves passion. You know what passion draws out of God? It draws response out of God. God says, you will find me when what? You seek me with all your heart. Passion draws God's out, draws his anointing out, draws his presence out. Half-heartedness does not. I hate to say it, but it just does not. When we treat God, you know, kind of like second, you know, the number 10 in our lives, it doesn't draw the anointing and the power and the presence of God. So we want to heat up our prayers. If there is something weighing on your heart, if there is some obstacle in your life, some challenge in your life, some situation in your life that is weighing on your heart, I just want to encourage you to pray, to lift, carry that stone of prayer to God. Carry it to God. Bring it to the altar. Lay it at the altar of prayer. Bring it to God. Persevere in that prayer until God gives you an answer. Knock on that door and keep on knocking. Seek God's face and keep on seeking. Janice and I had something come up in our personal lives, not going to go into detail, but it weighed heavily, heavily, heavily on our hearts, both of our hearts. And we were praying. We were praying together. We would break down in tears together in prayer. We were praying separately. We were praying, breathing out prayers, just like as you're walking, I'm just, oh God, hear this prayer. As I'm getting in the car, as I'm doing whatever, oh God, hear this prayer. When we have a desperate desire or need, it draws prayer out. And it was a blessing to carry that stone of prayer to God again and again. And God kindly answered that prayer. There's something exciting about being able to carry the obstacles, the challenges, the desires, the good things. You want something great to happen in your life. And I'm not talking about, we're not a, you know, name it and claim it. You know, give me a Mercedes-Benz, Lord. I'd rather have a BMW anyway, Lord, in case you're listening. we're not that kind of church. To me, great things are great things that happen that bear fruit in our lives, our families' lives, the people around us' lives. That's great things. But sometimes we have provisional needs too. So, I mean, whatever it is, we carry that stone to God in prayer. And so the second stone is that we move forward in prayer. The third stone is marked, the God who got us here will get us there. You got to understand with these people, they're coming through the Jordan. They go back, these 12 people. By the way, there's got to be some little bit of nervousness because they see a wall of water standing up just upstream from them. If God lets it go, they're all dead. The priests are all dead. But they go back to the middle of the miracle, and each of them pick up a stone, and they bring it to the side of the answer to that miracle, that answer to that prayer. And they lay the stones down on that side as a testimony of what God has done. But it's also a reminder that they have more enemies ahead of them. What does it say? It says they came, they crossed right opposite of Jericho, the most powerful city, walled with the most powerful wall, and their enemy, they had more fight ahead of them. This stone wasn't a memorial that said, we're done now, it's over, we don't need God anymore, he's done what he needs to do. It says, not only has God gotten you here, but the God who got you here is going to get you there. He's going to take you through the enemy. He's going to strengthen you for the fight ahead, because there will be fights ahead of you, and you are going to have to face new enemies all the time. And these stones reminded them not only of what God did, but what he will do for them. Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Every time we face a new challenge, if you've seen answers to prayer in your life, and I pray and hope you did, you have. But if you're like me, every time you face a new challenge, there's a new faltering of faith. There's a new, I don't know if God can do this. I don't know if God will do this. And they felt the same way. They saw that God part the Red Sea. As soon as they went without food for a little bit, they're like, God, we're dead. We're going to die. They kept forgetting every time they face a new challenge. I relate to that. I relate to that. But these stones tell us, the God who got us here is going to get us there. The God who has been faithful to my life to this point will be faithful to the very end. As Paul says, he will deliver me safely. And so we need fresh faith for this day, fresh faith for today's challenges. And one of the ways we get that is by remembering God's faithfulness in the past. The God who got you here will get you there. And my last stone that I want to mention this morning is marked, we move forward with God as a community. This is a community event. The priest stayed in the middle of the river while the whole community passed over. This was a community miracle. This was not an individual miracle. This was a community. They all saw it together. Can you imagine how exciting that was? As they stood there and they watched the priests, and they see their feet hit the water, and then all of a sudden the water just stops, and there's a dry road for them to cross over. And as they all cross over together safely to the other side, what a blessing for them together to see what God does for them as a community. And together they would build a memorial that would last, that spoke of how God moved them together forward. They saw that memorial as a community. God moved them together as a community. And here's where I want to encourage us. Your answered prayer could be my encouragement to keep on holding on. When my faith falters and you share a testimony of how God met you, it encourages my soul to keep praying, to keep believing God. And sometimes my answered prayer will be an encouragement to your faltering faith to keep on praying. And so here's what I want to do as we close this morning. I want us as a community, church community, to build a testimony, a monument this year of testimonies, of answered prayers, of what God has done that we can look back on. Now, here's the thing. I feel a little bit like the feet are touching the water. God, I hope you do something. But I have seen the faithfulness of my God again and again and again. And I believe when God's people together share prayers, we will also share testimonies. Amen? And we are going to build a monument of testimonies of what God has done throughout the year of 2025 and beyond.